This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Julian Ibrahim and me, Melissa. It's now 7:47 and we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up shortly after the 8 o'clock news. Anshuman Singh, Managing Director for Technology Strategy in ASEAN for Accenture, will be joining us on the show. He is the guy advising banks on fintech and other disruptive issues. And we'll be hearing more about how banks like DBS, for instance, are expanding in India, owning just the transactions, as well as the state of readiness among Asian banks to implement a technology platform for their business.
Now, he also has a portfolio of media companies advising them on how to deal with social media and tech disruption of their business models. So it's good to see how the communication strategy is coming up from the banks with regard to the fintech industry.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Let's find out more with Anshuman Singh from Accenture on the Breakfast Grill. But as we mentioned before the break, BUCG, which is a China state-run company, they have been removed as a partner in a consortium tasked to build the undersea tunnel project in Penang. Now, this was after BUCG was found responsible for that incident where a woman was killed when a crane hook at a construction site fell on her car in Jalan Raja Chulan.
I think this is very swift action by the Penang government, especially Penang Chief Minister Lim Guan Eng, who withdrew the state's permission for...
Well, actually, I think what happened was the consortium itself, which was made out of Zenith... So the consortium is called Zenith BUCG, right? So
yeah.
It's made out of BUCG, Zenith Construction, and Juru Trust Sdn Bhd. So what they did was they had submitted a letter to Guan Eng, to the Penang state government, to seek permission to remove BUCG in the name... to remove BUCG as a partner of the consortium and in the name of this consortium to, and I think I'm paraphrasing them here, but in a bid to safeguard the consortium's credibility, and also the state's credibility.
Yeah, of course.
So Guan Eng said yes. Who is still in the project right now?
Zenith Construction and Juru Trust in Sdn Bhd.
All right, so only the Chinese party has been removed from the project. I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Is this transparency?
I think so. I mean, think about it this way, because everything they do is being documented. I know they have been, under tremendous pressure because of the, the mishaps and the accidents and the deaths that is happening. But at the same time, everything is above the board.
Is it
right?
Just one death or one mishap, or has it been many?
I'm not sure the number of mishaps at the workplace, but I do think in a way that this was the right move of the on the part of the consortium and the state government. This is a huge project, and it's a very controversial project already. It has issues on its own with the feasibility study and the fact that that there's been backlash towards this project. It's an undersea tunnel that perhaps has never been attempted in Malaysia before. You want someone, a company attempting this of the utmost pristine record.
Yeah, that's right. I think the controversy that you were referring to, the feasibility study, it cost 100 million ringgit
to do that
feasibility study. And when Dato Zarul Ahmad Mohamad Zulkifli, who was the head honcho of the consortium, was on the grill, we actually spoke to him about this.
Actually, it's not feasibility study alone. It's feasibility study and design. And there are a lot of things that you need to incur. A lot of engineers, a lot of equipment to be placed. Penang is a small island, so we have to be very precise in what we're doing.
So it's not just the feasibility study, it's not just to do research and see whether this is a safe project, but it's also the entire design cost that was lumped into the cost of the feasibility study. That's why it cost 100 million. But the other controversy was, of course, the land swap, where the Penang government paid for the project by giving 110 acres to the consortium. And people were saying that because the GDV of the land swap was 25 billion, and people were just going up in arms saying that, hey, this is not fair, because the 25 billion is a lot more than the 6.3 billion cost of the project. But that's not the right way to look at it, because by going after the 25 billion ringgit in GDV, you have to spend money, right?
Yeah.
It's not free. It's not, and you've got to take risks for going to that sort of property project. So I think at the initial stage, I think that a lot of the uproar about that land swap was unwarranted, in my opinion.
So the question now is, who will undertake this project, right? With the removal of BCG, whether or not the delivery of the project is going to be affected. And right now, apparently, China Rail Construction Corporation, or CRCC, is coming to the picture. So I suppose...
they just swap one China company for another?
Well, there's 1.4 billion to choose from. So I suppose it's plenty to choose from, I suppose.
Okay, there you go. Well, we'll keep an eye on this. This is definitely a developing story, but we'll keep you abreast of the latest developments with this consortium. But now, 7:53, and Tenaga Nasional has signed a 21-year power purchase agreement with SIPP Energy's unit, which will build a power plant in Pasir Gudang, Johor. So this is 1,444 megawatt power plant, known as Project 4A.
Yeah, I think there are a few things wrong with the award of this project. First, it's a direct negotiation project, not an open tender project. So why do that, right? Why reduce transparency for the nation? Because we are going to pay for the power. And that's also part of what's wrong with this project. Apparently, it's going to be very expensive. Sources say that, especially the Association of Water and Energy Research Malaysia says that it's going to be about 38 cents per kilowatt hour, which is a lot higher than Tenaga's own offer in a competitive tender for another project, which is the Pry Power Plant, is 10 to 12% higher than Tenaga's bid. So why is there all this disagreement?
You know, this issue of direct award, right, for especially in the power sector, is something that we've been speaking about in the past few months that I can remember, most recent being Tadmax Resources, when they were awarded that project for the land that they own in Pulau Indah. Now, Tadmax is one instance. We've got Project 4A, another instance of direct award in the power sector. We've also got the Edra Energy issue, that was a direct award in the power sector as well. Three instances of direct awards in the power sector as opposed to open tender. Now, the Energy Commission had said previously that they wanted to move away from direct awards. I don't know why they still keep doing it.
Yeah, it's like an addiction.
Yeah, it is an addiction. And I think while they, just like quitting smoking, you can talk about quitting smoking all you want, but you never do, right?
Well, they have justifications for it that they say energy shortage, they want to expedite.
Just like a smoker, there's always a reason why they're not quitting.
But you see,
smoking.
Why did Tenaga themselves pull out in the first place?
Right.
Tenaga was the initial bidder of the project as well. And they, along with YTL, for different reasons, YTL Power pulled out because they accusations of cronyism were leveled against them. So they pulled out. And then Tenaga pulled out because of some price agreement. Now, why would your only customer pull out from a project that they were supposed to bid for? In addition to that, we'll talk about all these other slightly older projects, Project 3A and 3B, where the pricing is between 22 and 25 cents per kilowatt hour, when according to sources, the pricing for this latest 4B project is almost 40 cents per kilowatt. Mm. So it's a very substantial price difference from already established PPAs.
But you kind of get the idea that this is going to be very foul for some of the parties involved when the three parties named the Energy Commission, TNB, and some of the private contractors are not actually working together, including the Ministry of Energy for that matter.
Well, yeah, and also the question of whether SIPP can do this without the technical expertise. They have no background in building a power plant like this or of this size. Also, who's going to fund this? This project, Project 4A, is said to require 6 billion ringgit to develop. SIPP has a paid out capital of 100,000.
Yeah, and for instance, if you know that this is a price tag, right, and Tenaga comes in, Tenaga, which has a very good credit scoring, can easily raise these funds. So again, a lot of mismatch happening right
but
now.
But then Tenaga has inked this PPA, right? So we don't know about what's happening in the background, but let's hope that this does not result in higher electricity prices for
all
of us.
For the end consumer, right?
We are talking about efficiency here. Everybody is, like the manufacturers are complaining that power prices are going up, and they need help from the government. At the end of the day, we are helping, we are performing some kind of corporate welfare and corporate corporate socialism, which shouldn't exist, right? These are supposed to be capitalistic companies.
Well, speaking about that, Budget 2017 is just around the corner, and a lot of us may be grappling with the higher cost of living, but Budget 2017 may offer more income tax relief for middle-income wage earners to help them cope with that.
Yep, that's according to Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Dato Abdul Rahman Dahlan. He says that the B40 people need a little bit of help from the government. I think this is okay for the government being representative of the people, helping the people, right? People helping the people is fine. This is welfare for the people. This is not corporate welfare. We shouldn't be engaged in too much corporate welfare.
There's also another element into this because I remember yesterday, Melissa, you were talking about whether there will be reskilling of employees. Apparently, Dato' Rahman Dahlan, the minister in charge of VPU, has already included that in the agenda because he says that the reskilling of employees is to ensure that the mismatch between the skills a person has with what the industry requires is going to be matched. And yeah. I think that is going to be one of the agenda as well, on top of that tax relief that we spoke
about. But I also think that the issue becomes, if you reduce taxes more, whether you can fund the kind of projects you want to undertake as a nation. As it is already, the tax base is extremely narrow in Malaysia. Only 10 to 15% of the workforce pays taxes. And they have implemented GST to kind of arrest that situation. If you reduce taxes further,
what's going to cover the shortfall? There you go. Good question, Jules. We'll find out. Budget 2017 is going to be tabled in Parliament on October 21st. But we've got the news bulletin coming up in just a minute with The Breakfast Grill after Anshuman Singh, Managing Director for Technology Strategy in ASEAN at Accenture on the show. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.